Exodus 9, verse, well, whatever makes sense around it. Read 13, 14, and 15.
9, 13, 14.
Yeah.
And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart and upon thine servants and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. For now I will stretch out my hand that I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth.
Okay. Well, 16:2.
And in very deed, for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth.
Okay, you've got, in order to understand the plagues, in order to understand the mystery of God, you've got to understand that this here is Pharaoh. And Pharaoh is a type of the Antichrist. And the plagues have come upon you and upon your heart to destroy those idols. God didn't give a flip about Egypt. Ezekiel says that he sent the plagues to show Israel where they had accepted the gods of the world. And to let my people in you is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And the plagues are sent so that that can come forth. You understand? All right. The first one is Exodus 7:19. He turned the Nile. The Nile turned into blood. The Nile god shared the honors with Ra, the sun god, and its water was as sweet as honey when filtered. It was the only water that they had to drink. It didn't rain in Egypt. And it doesn't rain. It never, can you understand, it never rains in Egypt? Rain is always revelation. So there's no revelation in Egypt. So the only thing that can be done in Egypt is the Holy Spirit comes against you and shows you what life isn't. So you leave. The water was turned to blood and it stank. It was undrinkable. And therefore, the blood means death. Whatever was life to you, wherever you have sought nourishment and meaning for your life, God has now shown you that it's death instead. And it doesn't matter what it is. And each one of you, what has given you life may be different. But if that river of life is turned to blood so that you can see what has given you life is in truth death. You understand that? The next thing, the next plague was the frogs. And the frogs come against the goddess Heka. She was the fertility goddess, the goddess of personal success. It was illegal to kill a frog in the world. And now frogs multiplied until they filled Egypt. And God has taken the effects of your idea of success or abundance or creativity out to the limit and showing your true state of poverty and need, so that you can receive God's true wealth. And next was lice, the dust of the land, and you are made of dust, represents our flesh. The lice were really biting gnats. Our flesh becomes an irritant to us, so that we no longer want to serve it. Well, those three plagues came upon all of Egypt, including Israel, Israel in Egypt. Then next came the flies. Because no matter how spiritual you are in Egypt, as long as you're in the world, your ideas of success have to die. I mean, what gives you meaning and what gives you meaning has to die. Your idea of success has to die, and you can no longer serve flesh. The next plague didn't hit the true Israel. They were protected. But its purpose was, it was the flies. The major tenet of Egyptian religion was cleanliness. They shaved their hair, the temples had to be scrupulously clean. In other words, the houses, it means temples. Flies which bred in dead things and filth suddenly flooded their temples, disrupting their worship. Their temple became like graves, seemingly full of death because of the flies. Our ideas of God and religion and worship and prayer we find suddenly full of the evidence of death. Also, the activities we judge to be unclean keep messing up our attempts to do right and to be nice. That's its function. Next came the plague of murrain. It was a plague on cattle. Cattle were sacred, like in India today. They believed that the gods took animal form, so all animals were sacred. It's very similar to reincarnation beliefs as well. Apis represented the bull. Isis was the cow. Represented Israel's golden calf. Suddenly, all over Egypt, the stench of burning dead carcasses of animals rose in the air. The next one was boils. Under severe stress, most ancient civilizations would resort to human sacrifices. The Egyptians did this in this instance. A ritual to avert evil. They sacrificed to the god of evil, who was Typhon. They took what the scriptures don't say, the Talmud does. The reason they got boils is, in this incredible sacrifice, Pharaoh declared that in order to avert the plagues, there had to be human sacrifice. And they were burned in ovens. And what Moses did, they were burned to the god Typhon, who was the god of evil. And what Moses did, he took the soot from the oven where the human sacrifices were, and he sprinkled it towards heaven. It became dust in the land and broke forth into boils wherever the dust touched.
Who were those that were burned?
Egyptians, because the Talmud isn't clear, but it was apparently people that had value. It was probably some of the priests, some of the artisans, some of the artisans too. But they burned them and then they killed them and then sacrificed them to ward off the plagues. And instead, they produced another plague, the boils. Now next came the plague of hail mixed with fire. This was directed against Isis and Osiris, the gods of health and fertility and production of the land. They were the covering that the Egyptians were trusting in, and God showed that they were ineffective. That covering is a lie. And remember, it says, hail shall sweep away our refuge of lies in Isaiah. Any place that you are not trusting in God, he sends judgment to sweep away the false covering. Whether it's your job, a romantic relationship, your spouse, your family, the Bible, your relationship to this Bible study group, whatever. He wants you to trust only in him, and him alone. Then you're safe from the hail. Otherwise, the plague of hail will sweep away your refuge of lies. Now, for some people that have left this body, they left because the body became the refuge instead of God. Or I became their refuge. And God had to sweep that away with the plague of hail. Everybody understand that? Next came the locusts. This plague was against Seraphis, who promised protection from locusts. Locusts consume faster than fire. Everything green is gone. Regular grasshoppers, but under certain conditions, especially when the rain brings good crops, they start to congregate together and touch each other. They rub against each other. This causes literally a molecular change in their system. They go from the color green to black and red, and then they become an all-consuming plague, destroying every living plant. In some cases, the records show that the locusts were 18 inches deep, piled upon a pile of locusts, and they moved across the land and they destroyed everything in their path, and they moved as one mind. I mean, whichever way they turned as one. It's to show That our it's the locust represents our self-seeking gone wild, taken to the end. The next plague is darkness. It's directed against the sun god Ra.
That's interesting, because that's pretty heavy right there in the fact that the John was eating locusts. You know, where it says...
Say, he wasn't eating locusts.
It was...
Carobs.
Carobs.
Mistranslation. Different word.
Yep. Same word. Almost. But darkness was directed against the main, the sun god, Ra. Christ is the only true light in the universe. And the light we see by physically is only a shadow of that. By taking away the light we see, God showed the Egyptians their true situation, which was walking in darkness spiritually. At the same time that the darkness discredited Ra, and then as 1 John says, he that walketh in darkness hateth his brother. This plague is a revelation of our hate, the opposite of love, and darkness was a taste of outer darkness. That's what we see when we're in our aloneness, that we're simply walking in hate. We destroy anything that is a threat to our self-seeking. And finally, it was death of the firstborn. This happened as Israel was eating the Passover lamb. Adam, or your identity in the flesh, is the firstborn. Christ is the secondborn in you. A great cry went up in Egypt. The death angel passed over the houses of Israel as if they had put the lamb's blood on the doorpost. It told the angel a death had already taken place. Those inside might be confused, fearful, have doubts, but they were covered by the blood. The knowledge that their only protection was the blood of the Lamb, we know it to be fulfilled in Christ on the cross. This is the only way to even begin this journey, to trust in that blood and to eat the Passover lamb and drink the wine. Stay inside the door. If you went outside of the door, the blood didn't do you any good. Your old identity is on the cross. If you go back outside into Egypt, you'll be only walking in death. God is creating a new people, a people who only know I am. He is their only identity. Put the blood now on your doorposts. Your mouth is that door. Agree with God about this, and then we can go on the journey to the Promised Land. And this is the first instance of the use of blood. Unfortunately, it's all that most people know about the blood of Christ. Anyway, so all these plagues, these 10 plagues, took place so that you could know the cross and that you could know that your only hope is not to try to get things fixed in Egypt, but to get the hell out.
Can I ask a question? I was reading this yesterday, in chapter 4, verse 6 through 9, he talks about how he was led with the rod and turns into a serpent. And then he said, if they don't believe that's the one, and he showed him, he says to put his hand at his bosom, and then he takes it out, it's less versus the snow, and then he tells him to put it back in. And then he says that if they don't believe these two signs, then it should come to pass that they will not believe these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. So that's
that was all before the plague started.
Really?
Precursor.
Those were the hints of what was about to happen.
And it shall come to pass.
Wake up.
I mean, so I know we talk about leprosy, snow being physical death.
No, this was just this right hand that was put in, so everything he did was leprous, was dead. Those three were done before Pharaoh. In the court.
That's why I was trying to figure out why he would do that, show him that.
Why he would show Pharaoh?
Why God would show Moses that. And then he went on to Egypt and then he went to the Pharaoh and did this.
Well, because he had to show him again. Moses had to know that he had that power with resident within him before he could approach and stand against. Like most people believe in an impotent Christ. And so they always think that they are stronger than God. And so if a problem arises, well, then, you know, you may act like you're religious about it, but in truth, you believe that you're stronger than God or the problem is stronger than God. And so with Moses, when he was alone, he had to go through that to see that he had the power. That God was stronger than any of those things.
So by showing him he could make it,
his hand leprous and unclean.
Yeah.
Okay? Anybody else? Let's go up to big group. Take a big gun.